No Defense with Jeff Beck.
I'm Jeff Beck. Welcome to the broadcast. I don't relish being 40 years of age, but it does have some advantages. And I'm not referring to the general sense of wisdom which sometimes accompanies advancing age. No, it's that I feel lucky to have witnessed a now lost American social order, if only its last and longest shadows. It wasn't so long ago that white children, well, like myself, were taught from books which instilled pride in the accomplishments of our ancestors. For example, the elementary school I attended featured a workbook entitled Our Greco-Roman Heritage, which introduced young minds to classical conceptions of architecture, law, and literature. This workbook explained how ideas from the classical world manifest themselves in American society, or used to, also facilitating the transmission of culture and knowledge to American children, was the homogeneous nature of the American populace. For instance, the entirety of my K-6 education was spent in the company of only white children. Never did I see a black or mestizo set foot in my elementary school. Even the janitor was white. The same was largely true for middle and high school. Also, I'm grateful to have known men like my father and grandfather, men who understood their place in history and time. They had a sense of dignity and inner strength, which most white youth today don't possess. A possession which even I have only a tenuous hold of. And as the years pass, I find it increasingly difficult to recall all of my father's tales, but I vividly remember him telling me of the little town near his childhood home in El Dorado Springs, Missouri, which had a sign placed on the city limits which read, "No Blacks After Sunset." Well, I was thinking of that sign when I found myself surrounded by blacks and mestizos during a recent trip to Walmart. Unable to find the merchandise I sought, I located a clerk, a young white kid. I remarked to him just how much I hate coming to Walmart, and I asked him how could he tolerate working here. He cautiously responded that he also hated Walmart. Both of us found out that we were local to the area, though about 20 years apart in age. Becoming increasingly agitated by the gathering swarm of mestizos and blacks, I directly but in hushed tones spoke to him. "How can you stand working around all these Mexicans and blacks?" Before he could answer, I continued without pause, "You're being screwed, you know that. When I grew up here, there were no Mexicans or blacks in this entire county. Everyone spoke English, of course, and what's more, there were good blue-collar jobs in those days. A fellow like you could make good money painting houses, laboring, or doing construction work. Now all those jobs are gone, sent overseas by venal politicians. At the same time, they've imported millions of Mexicans to take whatever is left, driving down the wages. All that's left is drudge work. It's a crime that's been done to you and your generation, and I hope you make them pay for it." There were other points we talked about, but that was the upshot. He stood silently looking at me, but did not shrink from my words. He mentioned the horrible education he had received from the local schools, saying the teachers just didn't care. He then confessed that he didn't know that this county, much less America, had been overwhelmingly white as few as 20 years ago. We spoke some more about various topics, and as I left, I gave him a few web addresses to visit, like VNN's, and I had a CD copy of one of Pierce's American Dissonant Voices broadcasts, which I also gave him. It seems unlikely that my friend from Walmart will ever make it to a university. And besides, what good would it do him? Unless he entered the sciences or engineering fields, which are increasingly dominated by non-whites, all he'd get is more anti-white, multicultural propaganda. This was certainly the case when I was in college. White male college students are easy prey for multicultural propagandists. The environment is one of total propaganda. What's worse, by the time I entered college, my father had been weakened by strokes, and the older men I knew, like my grandfather, were dead. A good family is a bulwark against propaganda. Anyway, the damage done to my psyche by college education was great, but somehow a seed of hope remained. It was in a college economics tech book that I noticed a curious reference to the subject of slavery. It was a footnote which cited a book entitled, quote, Time on the Cross, The Economics of American Slavery by Robert Fogel and Stanley Ingerman. A book which contradicted much that I was being told about slavery, and much that the nation was being spoon-fed by such TV shows like Roots, which had played to great acclaim just years earlier. Unlike Time on the Cross, Alex Haley's book Roots was a work of outright fiction. David Volper, a Jew, produced Roots as a television miniseries. Today, I'm told Roots is now being presented to public school children as fact. However, I'm sure that any textbook that refers to Fogel and Ingerman's work has long been since removed from school curriculum. Anyway, I bought a copy of Fogel and Ingerman's Time on the Cross and discovered that black slaves, when compared to a typical white man of that era, lived in clean, well-kept quarters, and were often trained to perform skilled labor. And what's more, they lived longer and healthier lives than most whites. Moreover, far from being subject to the lash and sent to the fields to die from exhaustion, slaves were treated as valuable property and cared for. In contrast, poor white immigrants might be drafted into work gangs to dig drainage canals through malaria-infested swamps, or work in dangerous mines. There are many other points which Fogel and Ingerman discuss, such as slave family formation, miscegenation, and the viability of slave economics, findings which are offensive to multicultural sensibilities. Buy this book for your children and read it with them. Without children, there cannot be a race. And there cannot be a race without a history of its own, told by members of its own race. Tragically, the telling of our history has fallen into the hands of Jews. The Jewish interpretation and retelling of our history is causing great alienation among our youth. We are being taught to despise our heritage. This cultural dispossession is not an accident. And we cannot sustain our race if children are not told about Julius Caesar, Cicero, Charlemagne, and Magna Carta. We cannot survive if our children only know of the beast, Martin Luther King, but not real heroes like Jefferson Davis or Robert E. Lee. A collective response must be made. But let's start first with our children. It's up to fathers to equip their children with the necessary tools to fend for themselves. Fathers must instill in their children an historical consciousness, and a love for their own race. Thank you for listening.